Wonderful. Let's pray as we think about this Bible passage together. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us to have open eyes and open ears as we see the Lord Jesus now. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we're still back on that first day of the week, that first Easter morning, and it's a time of great confusion. There's all sorts of crazy rumours flying around if you're one of Jesus' disciples. You've heard that people have gone to the tomb and found that the body is missing. But only a few people have gone there, so you only have a few reports of that. You even have one report from one woman that she has seen Jesus, that he's not dead, that he's alive. But that's entirely uncorroborated. It's confusing. It's frightening. You don't know whether all of this hubbub, these rumours, are going to cause the people who came after Jesus to come after you as well. It's really confusing. It's really frightening. And so, on the evening of that first day of the week, all of Jesus' disciples gather together. Here they are, all gathered together in a room. Well, I say all. One of them is missing. Thomas is not there. Now, we don't know why. Perhaps he had a nap after lunch and woke up late, and so he didn't get there. Perhaps he walked really, really slowly. Perhaps there were improvement works on the M4, and that's why Thomas wasn't able to get there. But he is not there. The rest of the disciples are, all 11 of them. And as they're there, talking about all of these rumours, something incredible happens. Jesus appears in the midst of them. And he shows them his body, the wounds. He says to them, "Peace be with you." And they are filled with joy. It's the same joy, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, that joy Jesus said he would give to them, the joy that no one can take away, they are filled with. And then, just as he came, he leaves, and Jesus is gone. Some time passes, and now Thomas arrives. And so, of course, what happens? They say to him, "Thomas, you will have no, you can't believe what just happened. We've seen the Lord. He was here, his body, his voice, he was here." And of course we know, don't we, from hearing Sophia read to us so excellently just now what Thomas says. Thomas says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." So let's do a quick toss-up of where we are at the moment. Jesus has 11 disciples, right? 10 of them have seen him, have been filled with joy, and believe. They believe in him. And one of them does not believe. 10 believe, 1 doesn't. If you're a mathsy kind of person, that means Jesus has a 91% conversion rate. Now, that's pretty good, right? That's pretty good. In this, most things in life, if you can get 91% kind of completion or a 91% mark on an exam, that's pretty good. So the story could end here. It could have. It could have been Jesus with his 10 believing disciples ready to go out into the world and tell everyone about him. But it doesn't, does it? We know that. And the reason it doesn't is because that is not the kind of Lord Jesus Christ is. Jesus does not lose his people. If you were one of the bigger people here in the autumn, you'll remember we spent some time looking at John chapter 6, and you might remember Jesus saying this: "This is my Father's will, that I shall not lose a single one of those that he has given to me." Jesus does not lose his people. And so the story continues. It's a week later, they're all gathered together again, and this time Thomas is there. There we go. Thomas is there. And then what happens? Jesus comes back. He comes back for Thomas. He comes back for the one who does not believe, because he does not lose his people. We're just going to have two very simple lessons from this passage today. And that is the first one: Jesus does not lose his people. He wants all of his people to believe in him, and he will make sure that it happens. This is so helpful, because believing in Jesus is really hard. It's really hard. Perhaps you're the only person in your class or in your group of friends who believes in Jesus. That makes it really hard to keep on believing in him. Perhaps in your office or at work, there's this situation where doing the thing you know Jesus wants you to do, listening to his instructions and his words, seems like completely the wrong thing to do. It would seem way easier to just tell that lie or do the thing that isn't quite right, but just makes much more sense in the circumstances. In that situation, believing in Jesus is really, really hard. So what do we do when we get there? We remember that Jesus does not lose his people. Jesus came back for Thomas. When we're in that situation, you think, "Oh, Jesus, it's really hard to believe in you. It's really hard to keep trusting you." We remember Jesus came back for Thomas. Jesus does not lose his people. That's lesson one. Very quickly, lesson two: we believe by hearing. I need two volunteers. Great, Scarlett. Oh, come on, you're braver than this. Oh, up you come. Great, brilliant. So, Scarlett, you're going to be my ear. Yeah, my big ear. You'll be my big eye. Come and stand up here. Hold it up nice and high so people can see. Got a big eye and a big ear. Do you remember what Jesus said? In fact, just stand a little bit further apart. Go on. Do you remember what Jesus said to Thomas? "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Now, it might be there's someone here who's thinking, "Well, actually, isn't Thomas kind of sensible? He doesn't take anything at face value. He asks to see himself. He wants to make sure that he can understand in his own terms that Jesus is alive before he'll believe it. Isn't that just kind of being an evidence-based person? Isn't that kind of normal?" But Jesus says that's not the way it's going to work for the vast majority of his people. Nice and high. Let's have our eye nice and high. Jesus says that there were people in the beginning who saw with their eyes, like those first disciples who saw him being alive. But that wasn't the way it was going to be for most people. Most people were going to, nice and high, Scarlett, were going to hear about him with their ears. These people back here who saw Jesus with their eyes would write down what they saw so that all the other people who could hear about Jesus and believe in him. That's why we have this book, so that we can hear about what those first believers saw and believe. Thank you very much, guys. Go and take a seat. So that's our second lesson. We hear by believing. We've all heard now. We've all heard the story. So that's the question: do we believe? Let me